Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
From the 10, probably the final play of the game. In regulation. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. Mike Jones made the tackle. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
No lie. The game is over. The game is over.
Oh, it still hurts. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you. And yes, that is what I watched yesterday for the first time in 23 years. Super Bowl 34, the Titans and the Rams. I felt like a 12-year-old again. That heartbreak all came back to me. And you may ask me, why did I subject myself to that? And it was because I blame Willie. Willie texted us. Nick was in that group. It was the midday show group chat. And I was like, okay, I'll turn it on. And it was second half, basically, which was really when a lot of the things happened for the Titans. And I just sat there and I was just like, I feel like I'm watching, you know, it was similar to watching the Titans today. The offensive game plan was very similar. Give the ball to Eddie. Give the ball to Derek. And, you know, they weren't taking shots downfield. And they had, number one, and yes, I am 100% biased, but number two, I'm also right. The fact that they didn't use D-Mace more than they did then was just stupid. I mean, Isaac Bird, they're throwing to Isaac Bird and not Derek. Just, I mean, Yancey Thigpen was hurt, which was, you know, normal. And so he was out, didn't play. Isaac Bird is who replaced Yancey Thigpen, not D-Mace. So, you know. Whatever. I mean, yeah, that is what it is.
And needless to say, I know D-Mace did not tune in yesterday.
No, he won't.
I won't either.
I will say
we
made the mistake one time, and this is kind of the question of, you know, a game that just was heartbreaking to you that you haven't been able to even look at or watch or anything since. We did this one time with Willie and Darren and D-Mace, and we were at the arena. Now, we didn't expect him to do it on the air. But we brought this topic up, and he said it's the next year, the divisional playoff game against the Ravens, where Ray Lewis rips the ball out of Eddie's hands, and Del Greco misses several field goals, and they end up losing. He started watching it while we were on the air, and like I could visibly see the steam coming off his head. Like he was mad all over again. I mean, he was like, why'd you guys make me do this? And we're like, we didn't make you do it on the air. Like, we wanted you to go home and, you know, pour a drink.
He couldn't wait. He needed to be with everyone to do it. He didn't want to do it by himself.
No, it was great. But, you know, a couple of things that kind of stood out to me, and the reason that I even bring this up is, number one, I'm still upset at Al Del Greco, because if he missed one and he had one blocked in that game.
Got to have a kicker.
And he was automatic Al. I mean, he was great for a long time, but in clutch situations like that, in the division game against Baltimore, was another one.
And where is this team right now, too?
Right. They don't have a kicker. So if they have one of those kicks back, that last drive is different. I mean, think about it. They're down by seven. Now, you know, if they have one kick back, they still got to score a touchdown. But they could be scoring to win and not scoring to tie.
Sure.
So that changes things. You know, the offensive game plan to me, like they had to basically beat the Rams down for it to start working in the second half. How many times have we seen this Titans team go with that? You know, you just keep running Derek down the opponent's throat, and then finally they get tired and they can't defend it anymore. That was a big similarity. And so I guess to me it was like, this really hasn't changed in 23 years. The players have changed, but the overall philosophy hasn't changed in 23 years.
No, sure, Chase. I mean, you you came up to me this morning, and first off, I had no idea what you were going to say because you sat down and you go, Michelle. And I'm like, yes. And you're like, I've done something that I haven't done since 2000. And I'm like, what the heck? And you paused. You paused for dramatic effect.
No, it was
and
good.
I was like, what is he about to say? Like, did he go to a rollerblading rink or something? That honestly is what I'm thinking. I'm like, did you play with chalk? Like, I had no idea. And you're like, I rewatched the Super Bowl. And I was like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense. And then you said it was on NFL Network yesterday. But, you know, to your point, and you were talking so much about, right, how much they used Eddie and the comparisons between the team back then and what the team's philosophy been, and still now in 2023 you can pull so many similarities, you know, to this team, and how, and you mentioned the utilizing D-Mace, and it was all Eddie, it was all running the ball, tough defense. And then I brought up to you, you know, let's take a look around the NFL right now and how, you know, more than ever I think running backs are so incredibly undervalued. I mean,
yeah, I
you
agree.
Talk about, I would say the second, I mean, by his performance last year, like the second best running back, Saquon Barkley right now, looks like he's probably not going to be on the New York Giants. I mean, he has been very, very vocal these last couple of days that, you know, he believes
Dalvin Cook just got released.
Well, Dalvin Cook, a guy who's had back-to-back 1,000-plus yard rushing seasons, 52 touchdowns. He's 27 years old. Josh Jacobs is tagged by the Raiders. He just led the league in rushing last year. You know, when you look in a guy like Saquon Barkley, I mean, I think his comment was something along the lines of, you know, I just want to be the top paid player at my position. I mean, he was the reason the Giants, it was not Daniel Jones. He was the reason the Giants had the season they did last year. But, I mean, this has been really, and correct me if I'm wrong, like a franchise who actually has paid. I mean, everybody's like, why are you paying Derrick Henry? Why are you playing Derrick Henry? And he actually gets paid. And I understand the argument of, you know, running backs and the drop off and the hit they take on their body and things like that. But I think more than ever, I mean, some of these guys who are still performing at such an elite level, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, I mean, around the league, it's just, it really is crazy right now.
Yeah, and I mean, think about it. This conversation that we're having about DeAndre Hopkins, and if the Titans add DeAndre Hopkins, and how big of a jolt that will be for the offense with when it comes to scheming and having to scheme against them. If you take Derrick Henry out, and it's Tajay Spears or Hassan Haskins, you're not scared of that.
No.
Now, I mean, look.
Maybe at some point, but no.
They could at some point, but you're not scared of that. Like, even every person will say, well, Derrick Henry's lost a step. He doesn't quite have that burst anymore. And I really hope that some defenses are dumb enough to actually believe that and allow themselves to believe that, and they take their eye off the ball a little bit, and then Derrick basically does the hold my beer,
I hate when that's said. Oh, well, he looks like he's lost a step. There were a couple, and I understand, you know, watching from the outside looking in, I just feel like he is so incredibly scrutinized, right? Like after the foot injury, it's, I don't know if he's going to be able to come back. And he literally is second in the league rushing behind one of the worst offensive lines, the box stacked every single time. And it's like, well, he definitely lost just a little bit of a step. It's like, can we actually, you know, recognize for a second? Because I don't even think Derrick gets as much credit as he should for what he did last season.
Sure.
I mean, the fact that he was able to rush, and he missed a game, rush for over 1,500 yards behind that offensive line. I mean, when he got hit half the time before he even could take a step forward, he was grabbed by the ankle or something. I mean, it really is incredible. And I understand you can say, well, there are a couple big ones that he would have been able to break. I'll tell you this. Derrick Henry looked fast in minicamp. He looked, and Joe and I are on the same page. He looked like he slimmed down just a little bit. Like, he came in last year just, like, bigger than ever. It looks like he slimmed down a little bit, and the guy looks fast.
Yeah, and I hope he is. I mean, look, he did lose a step last year. I'm not denying that. But he's still, Derrick Henry losing a step is better than most of the backs in this league. So I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due there. He didn't have that little bitty burst, I guess is the best way to put it, like he had before. Now, if he's lean, you know, if he slimmed down a little bit, if he's a little leaner, he's quicker, he might have that back.
We
don't know.
He has people blocking for him.
He has people blocking for him. If he has DeAndre Hopkins and Traylon Burks on the outside, I mean,
if he has Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
There is a lot that can be factored into that. But yeah, I just and there are a few people are texting like, really, I was having a great day. You had to go down heartbreak lane there with that. But it stood out to me in like little things in that game of, you know, Al missed the kick. They were chasing points after the block and the missed kick, and so they went for two early in the game when I don't think they really needed to. You know, and so there was that. And then there's always the question, if they score, I mean, the Rams were so gassed, you know, do they go for two and try and win the game? But, you know, we'll never know. But we'll continue the discussion with the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins because Bill Belichick's given us a little nugget in his press conference earlier. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
DeAndre Hopkins in tomorrow. Is that accurate?
I don't know about that. Talk to him. Working through it. I'm not sure.
Bill Belichick, a man of few words. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. DeAndre Hopkins currently in Nashville. Enjoyed the CMAs, CMA Fest. Now, I guess at the facility, talking with Titans brass. The rumor had, or the report had been out there that he was then going to New England for a visit. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I think a lot of that was probably Belichick being Belichick, but. And the reporter was A to Z, right? From A to Z.
They reported, and then I went back in the press conference to listen to his comment on that. Yeah. I think the part that got me, and I understand, you know, what could this mean? He's here in Tennessee right now. But his comment on we're still trying to work through some things, that sets off a light bulb in my head of maybe they're not on the same page as far as financials on what he's asking for.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I mean, I took it as maybe the agent said, you know, maybe it was, hey, why don't you guys come here Tuesday after you leave Tennessee? And maybe it's like, hey, I don't know if we're making it there or not. You know, it could be that. I mean, maybe Hopkins' crew likes what they're seeing and hearing and everything out of the Titans and – it could lead to not going to New England. As I said earlier, if you're serious about this, and I feel like the Titans are, you don't let him leave without being a member of the Two-Tone Blue.
Yeah, I mean, now...
Don't let him go to New England.
Now a lot of Boston reporters are, you know, basically tweeting out that quote. This is Phil Perry from NBC Boston. Bill Belichick says, talking to D-Hop, but he's not sure if Hopkins is going to make his visit to the Patriots.
That tells me that things might be going.
Well, you hope.
Going in a good way here. Because here's the other thing. If you think that he gets here and he goes to the CMAs and it's like, okay, he'll be over here Monday morning and visit. It doesn't work like that. There's been discussion. My guess is somebody was with him that we didn't see last night.
Listen, we already know Jeffrey Simmons slid into the DMs and was like, D-Hop, listen, you got to come down here. I mean, he was very vocal about, yeah, we want a guy like that on our team. And then, of course, we asked Jeffrey if DeAndre Hopkins responded, and he said yes, but he wouldn't tell us what he said. Darn. But, I mean, you know, when you have guys like that on your team who help in the – I don't want to say recruiting, but, you know, they see what a player can offer and they know we need this guy. And Jeffrey Simmons was like, you know, I've been on the other side of things, like on a defense trying to, you know, scout and plan for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. He was like, I mean, he's a dangerous guy. I don't care if he's 29 or 30 right now. He still has been effective in the games he played in Arizona last year. And that place was a dumpster fire. Your quarterback tore his ACL and his PEDs, like all the things. But I think it's proven that this is a different situation than Julio Jones. This is a different situation than Odell Beckham Jr. If you were asking me to choose who do I want, DeAndre Hopkins or OBJ right now, I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins all day.
So When Vrabel was asked about him, that was Wednesday, right?
Yep, that was Wednesday because it was before I hosted Silman
and
Company.
You were there.
No, because I was on Stillman and Company.
Oh, okay, so you weren't
we
there.
Played it, but the news broke while they were practicing that DeAndre Hopkins, it was Tom Pelissero, he broke it around probably 12:45 that he would be visiting, and then Vrabel spoke after practice around 2. And he said, we just want guys who want to be here. So he said that, you know, he confirmed that he would be visiting this weekend and didn't say much. But there's a difference in – because let's remember, you know, Vrabel is cut from that Belichick cheerio. No, they don't say a lot. But if there's already news out there that is confirming that he's going to be there, like – there's a reason.
But he only confirms it when he wants to. Like the fact that he used the name DeAndre and said and basically said, yeah, he's gonna come here at the end of the week or, you know, the first of next week we're gonna talk to him. And then he went back into his whole we're focused on who's here.
Yeah.
That told me enough of like, no, this is real. Like there's because usually, like if there's something out there about a guy that's not on this team, he'll slough it off and be like, "I'm only focused on the guys that are here."
No, sure.
And he did that, but he also confirmed that, yeah, no, we're going to talk to him. And so that gave me a little bit more of, you know, and remember, Vrabel said Corey Curtis and I were talking about this earlier. Vrabel said after the draft, you know, you're just going to have to trust me. Like, I mean, maybe this has been his plan all along. I mean, because I can tell you. There's always conversations we don't know about.
Yeah.
And he knows more than we do going into this.
Yeah, no, of course, you know, there's conversations that we don't know. I don't see the upside of Bill Belichick saying that I don't understand, like, there's no benefit to him saying, yeah, we don't know, we're trying to figure out something right now. There's no benefit. Like, he could have just said yes, confirmed it, and then went on. I understand Bill Belichick is the way he is, and, you know, in press conferences, he doesn't let on to a lot. But I do think there is significance that he said, we're trying to work through something.
Well, in the clip we played, we edited a little bit for time, but there was he said, I don't know about that. There was a pause. There was silence. And then he said, you know, I've talked to him. We're trying to work through some things.
Sure.
And so the pause kind of told me a little bit more. Of like maybe plans changed. You know, the I don't know about that could mean that he was going to visit and now he's being told, oh, I don't know if we're going to visit or not.
Yeah.
Which if that's the case, that means things are going well here.
Yeah. Is there an offer on the table here that he thinks, okay, I know somewhat of what the market is just based off of hearing from other teams and talking with other teams. I mean, it's been confirmed. The Bills only offered him a 1-year, $3 million deal. So is there an offer on the table here that he's like, oh, I'm not going to get anything better than this. I like Vrabel. I'm having fun here. I like the guys on this team. I've met some of them, whatever it may be. And then whether his agent is having conversations with the Patriots, and maybe they're not on the same page as far as money. So maybe he's thinking, you know what, maybe I want to be here. And of course, this is all speculation, but I do think there is something to it considering Bill Belichick said that about 45 minutes ago at his media availability.
Yeah. So that was recent.
Yes.
That he said that. So I'm
DeAndre is supposed to be there tomorrow.
Right. And Belichick basically said, play it. Do we have it again, Nick? Can you play it again?
DeAndre Hopkins in tomorrow. Is that accurate?
I don't know about that. Talk to him. Working through it. I'm not sure.
So in between the I don't know about that, talk to him, there's a pause.
Yeah.
The pause is the telling thing to me of it kind of sounded like he wanted to slough it off, and then he's like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. And he came back with a little bit more. We're working through it. I could be reading way too much into it. It could be just Belichick being, you know, Darth Vader and – doing his Jedi mind trick or what have you. But I have that kind of tells me that things could be going well.
I don't think we're reading too much into this. And believe me, I understand on Sports Talk Radio, we can get into talk. I genuinely don't think this is an overreaction. I mean, and especially because we're seeing now, and I'm seeing on Twitter, which I mentioned before, Boston media who regularly cover him are tweeting that specific quote out because there is some significance to it.
Yeah, I think so too. So we will ask Jonathan Hutton about this more and DeAndre Hopkins and his visit here, what all is, you know, could be happening there. We'll get his opinions on all of that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you on this Monday, as we do every Monday at 10:30. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutt, what's up? How are you?
Morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, guys. Hope everyone's having a great start to the week.
It's been fantastic. I think you heard this conversation earlier, but I was on a boys' weekend. We went to Cherokee, North Carolina, went to the casino, and randomly ran into Allen Iverson. And so you texted me and said you had a good one of a random celeb that you interacted with.
I've got two. So Super Bowl party in Los Angeles. We walk in. Clay knows Leinart well. I can't name drop him, but Clay can. And walk in, and Jamie Foxx is DJing the party, which was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And he was very cool. That's probably the biggest, but the most random was I was at a show. I forget who was playing the main act, but at the Ryman, Adrian Grenier, Vinnie Chase from Entourage, is there. And struck up a conversation with him in the concession line. He was awesome. He's everything. He's exactly what you would expect. He's probably dialing it back to about a 5, and Vinny Chase is cranking it to 11 like a WWE superstar.
Yeah, those are good. That's a good one. I think it's fun, you know, thinking about things like this.
I've met Jeremy Piven, Ari from Entourage.
Nice. Nice. I love that show.
Yeah.
I, that's one of those, like, I never think about it, mm-hmm. and strike up conversation. I want to go binge watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins, he is here right now or has been here visiting with the team. We saw the Instagram post last night. He was in a limo. They had the picture of him in a Titans uniform. He went to CMA Fest. Bill Belichick, in his media availability just a few minutes ago, said that he wasn't sure if Hopkins was going to come to visit the Patriots, that they're working through some things. And so I don't know exactly what to read into that. I'm kind of starting to read into maybe things are going well here in Nashville and he's not going to visit the New England Patriots. But I want to start with this. When a player visits a team, as DeAndre Hopkins is doing right now, you've been around, you know, the team for a long time. What exactly takes place during a player visit with a team?
Well, it depends on the level of the player. You know, back in the day, the Jim Schwartz era of defensive coordinator, then he became the head coach of the Lions. He flew down to Nashville and was at midnight at the start of free agency. Vandenbosch didn't go visit Schwartz in Detroit. He was at the front door at Kyle Vandenbosch's home at midnight when it was legal to go and actually start negotiating. It's a recruitment, and it's not the player selling, you know, his skill set. At this point, Hopkins is going to make the rounds, and you get your recruiting pitch. He knows all about Vrabel. I think it's about relationship building. Getting to know for the first time, first impressions matter, Rand Carthon, and really the staff behind the scenes. And I think, Chase, this is also key in this. It's, okay, when you sit down across from the vet who has been there, done that, and has produced at such a high level, what does he want at this point? You know, he's 31 years old. He had 715 yards receiving. And that's with missing 6 games at the start of last season due to the PED suspension. That's like 200 yards more nearly than the entire Titans wide receiving core that was on the roster last year that returns this year. It's crazy to think about the production when the ball's in the air to number 10. I think you want to know, okay, what are you looking to get out of this? What's the dollar figure here? And beyond that, here's how we're going to have to make room in order for you to be a part of what we're doing. And I think that's also critical, is they've got to have a game plan if another team wants to come in over the top and overpay whatever the Titans may have right now under the cap, which is what, $7 million or so.
Right.
They're going to have to restructure. And I think that's how you approach guys to restructure contracts, is you show them, you know, what the player that is coming in, what they're what they're capable of doing if they're able to kick the can down the road. It's an interesting decision, though. I mean, 31 years old, and certainly there have been great wide receivers who have produced at the age of 31 and beyond. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Tony Gonzalez, Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, Derek Mason. Yep. You know, those guys have produced. But he's still a top 20 wide receiver in yards per game over the last two seasons. He instantly becomes the most productive pass catcher on this Titans team. The defense 1 year ago was a top 10 in all the most important categories. Just name the most important categories. The Titans a year ago had that going into the Cincinnati game. Henry was great. Tannehill is now healthy. Those are the things you're pointing out as to, hey, everyone has buried us. Here's why we need you, and here's why you can join us and we can win. It's not about, hey, bridge the gap for us and make Treylon Burks better. No. You're selling DeAndre Hopkins on winning, because DeAndre Hopkins has lost a lot in Houston and in Arizona, and I think that's imperative in all of this.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us. Jonathan, I saw you posted you were at a charity event with Rand Carthon. Did you ask him if he was going to sign DeAndre Hopkins? You get a little inside scoop on it for us?
Well, I mean, he did say that. So I was with them at the Joe Beretta Foundation, Dinner in the Vines, a fantastic event that raises awareness and money to help those going through heart failure, families and patients. So the patients are not suffering alone. They do a fantastic job. The Joe Beretta Foundation.com for more there. Ran was there. Coach Mack came with us, and Stefan, he is a life coach out of Atlanta. My first time meeting him. Awesome dude. We talked about Hopkins, and this was Saturday night, Michelle. So he was getting ready to host Hopkins on Sunday. And confirmed about what Vrabel did at the podium, where, yeah, he's coming in and they're going after him. I mean, I think the first visit is important in this. You also want to be the last visit.
Yeah.
And if he takes another one, who knows when that ends up. But, I mean, based on the money and knowing what Odell Beckham Jr. received on a one-year contract, I'm eager to see where he feels like he fits into that category, given we're post-June 1st and teams are now – In some ways, scrambling to make room. Other teams have plenty of room, but they have plenty of room because they've been bad on the field recently. The best teams will have to maneuver contracts and figure that thing out. And I think that takes more time than just one quick visit.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us. Jonathan, Chase and I were having this conversation, you know, looking at the NFL as a whole right now. Saquon Barkley doesn't want to sign his tag with the Giants. You see Dalvin Cook mm-hmm. get released from the Vikings. You know, Josh Jacobs was tagged with the Raiders. Do you think more than ever now the running back position is just being more undervalued than ever? I mean, I know we've seen it, but you're talking about guys like Saquon Barkley coming off one of his best seasons. You're talking about a guy in Dalvin Cook who's only 27 years old and has been so effective for the Vikings.
Here's the harsh reality of the position. The teams that are winning Super Bowls right now are not geared towards the run. They have efficient runners. Mm-hmm. They're not spending big cap dollars on running backs. The top running backs for cap hits this year are Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon, and Saquon Barkley. Barkley's fourth. Rounding out the top five is Josh Jacobs. The last four Super Bowl champions last year, $725,000 was the cap hit for the top rusher for a Super Bowl winner. 2021, a little under $2 million of a cap hit. Same for 2020, and $1.7 million was the cap hit in 2019 for the leading rusher on the roster when the team went to the Super Bowl and won. I think that's interesting compared to where teams are investing and where they're not. But here's the case from Derrick Henry to Nick Chubb in Cleveland. Joe Mixon is coming off of a bad season and the uncertainty of where they're headed with his contract. Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs produced in contract years. And Barkley is saying, I'm not going to show up to minicamp because he believes that players like he and Tony Pollard and Josh Jacobs are getting paid $10 million so that the cap doesn't rise, the number doesn't rise for future contract negotiations at that position. Good luck with that, because the collective bargaining agreement allows teams to tag players, and that's the average salary around the league right now. That it's the harsh reality of the position, because teams are able to find production and winning production without paying top talent.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. So do you believe that the Titans get this done with Hopkins, or ultimately he ends up somewhere else?
I don't know, because look, this is the tough part about this. I don't think the Titans are winning the Super Bowl, right?
No.
I would not take up future season cap dollars for a situation where you're competitive right now. They believe they're much better than the public perception. Last year, the public perception was this Titans team is really good. The media didn't buy it, and we crushed them for it. Turns out they were more right than wrong, and injuries have plagued this team over the last two seasons. The 31-year age, the fact he's coming off the missing six games due to the PEDs, they've got to figure all that out. It's also an offense that is still going to go through the run. It's still going to have to be built through the offensive line. And in order to get the football to DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks, they have to protect Ryan Tannehill. So I don't know if it's just a given that it all makes sense. If you're going to have to restructure Ryan Tannehill's contract, let's start there. I wouldn't do that. Because you can get out from underneath this contract after this year for Tannehill. Beyond that, it's Harold Landry. But again, you would be eating future cap dollars. And is the cap real? Is it not real? It's a structure that has handicapped this football team over the last 2 years based on where the investments were made and the missed draft picks. If you could wave a magic wand and you know that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel hit on this draft, then it's worth paying the money for the future now. But again, it's a big if, because while I think there are certain pieces of last year's draft class that are pretty good, overall, there are not a lot of second contract guys that were drafted by this franchise on this roster. And that's the biggest issue. I wouldn't let Julio Jones haunt me, because Carthon was not a part of that. But I also have to factor in where they are financially on the cap moving forward. And are those pieces long-term or short-term? And Landry's coming off the ACL, and Tannehill's not the future. He's the now, but he's not the future.
We will see. Good stuff. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, joining us as he does every Monday at 10:30. Hutt, appreciate it as always, my friend.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton, and he'll also be on with Caroline Willie and D-Mace Wednesday at noon, which is OTA day for the Titans, as they'll have another media availability, and so maybe we'll know some things by then, you know.
Hopefully.
With DeAndre Hopkins, because I stand by what I've said. You can't let him – if you're serious about this, you want this to be the only visit, even though it may not be. But we'll discuss that much more. There's a final game tonight in the NBA, and also the Vols.
Maybe a final game.
It's an NBA final game. But it could be the final game. And also the Vols looking to punch their ticket to Omaha. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you. And yes, the NBA Finals tonight. You can hear it on 102.5, 106.3, the game, starting at 6:30. Denver and Miami, Game 5. I think Denver closes it out tonight. I think South Florida is going to have a couple of bad nights, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I do. I did see a stat go across our TV screen earlier this morning that Eric Spoelstra is 13-9 in elimination games, which makes me want to give them a little bit of grace, but I think you're right. I think Denver closes it out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, do you really think they're going to win 3 in a row against this Denver team?
No. I'm not saying win the.
No. I that was a rhetorical question. Oh. That wasn't to you.
Yeah. I don't. I think this is very much very much Denver's championship to win. They're clearly the best team.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. I don't think Miami's played awful in these games. I just think Denver's that good.
Oh, I mean, and when Miami wins, I mean, their shooters and their role players like Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson, I mean, they need to be so efficient from behind the three-point line. Miami essentially has to play, you know, a perfect game to be able to limit Jokic, limit Jamal Murray, who's been on fire as well. I mean, this Denver team, I don't think there's any question that the best team in the NBA will be winning it this year.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I think you can probably say the same about the Stanley Cup because Vegas is just that good. I mean, Florida, the fight that Florida's put up throughout these playoffs and the run that they've been on has been fantastic.
Sure, yeah.
I just think they've run out of gas.
Well, and I think it's clear that Matthew Tkachuk is hurt to some extent.
Sure,
I
mean, they're focused on that.
Yeah, not playing in the third period yesterday and then getting put in towards the end. He had a good look right at the end of the game there, but it's tough when – and I everybody's beat up at this time of the year, but when he's been so important to this offense, to this team, and a part of their success, to have him being hurt right now in a must-win situation. I thought they were going to get game four and be able to tie it up, but Vegas is on a roll right now.
Yeah, so I feel like both series come to an end tonight and then tomorrow and you can hear the cup final tomorrow at 6:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Once again, I'm mad at both leagues that we did not have a game last night. I have a feeling ESPN has a lot to do with that because they want to feature Sunday Night Baseball. But, Yankees, Red Sox, great. You know, that rivalry doesn't mean what it used to. I mean, it's still historic, but it's like, they were showing old moments from it. I'm like, nah, that's Yankees, Red Sox, you know?
No, I agree. I mean,
you know that rivalry.
Yeah, like the 03, 04.
Sure.
I mean,
and before that.
Obviously before that. Those were kind of some that I remember, but yeah, it's not, and maybe because I'm not up there and a part of the Northeast sports culture up there anymore and down here, but it's just not as.
Let me read the text that I just received from one Robert Stanley. Go get Dame Lillard this offseason and we'll see Denver next year. That coming from Miami Heat fan Robbie Stanley.
Yeah, I think they 100% should try to get Dame. Will he leave Portland, though? I don't know.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, remember when he – what was that year? 2 years ago? Was that the bubble year where he was like just hitting every? Yeah, I think it was the bubble year in 2020.
Yeah, but he has no help there.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Like you put, but I mean, honestly, that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, Miami needs one piece. Like they need.
Yeah.
You add Dame to that with Butler.
Tyler Hero back.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. No, I like that. That would be interesting. So, I don't know, but so that's tonight. I'll be watching that. I know I want to catch up on 30 for 30 because apparently there's a good one on the Anaheim Ducks.
I think that one just recently came out.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I haven't checked that one out yet.
Our buddy Stu Grimson is in it.
But I heard Robbie had his Ducks hat, Mighty Ducks hat.
He did. I said, is that in honor of the 30 for 30? And he said, no, he forgot he had it and liked it and put it on. So
have you watched the Avs? I don't think it's a 30 for 30, but the Avs Flyers one.
Avs Red Wings?
Or Red Wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I have. No, that's a good one.
Yeah, that one was really good.
That's a great rivalry.
I love sports 30 for 30s, and especially this time of year when we actually have time because, like you said, we're probably going to see both of these postseasons end this week. I would assume that Vegas and Denver will be able to close it out. And then can the Tennessee Volunteers get another win in Hattiesburg tonight? Their first pitch at 5 p.m. Central.
Yeah. So I'm curious on that. Series tied at one, so it's a winner-take-all. Obviously, has taken a couple days to get that series done as they played like one and a half yesterday. Vols fall in game one, end up taking game two to even the series, and then finally find out when the next game is going to be. But Tennessee, I mean, they've been a team that has faced adversity before, and they find their way in there, and so can they punch their ticket to Omaha?
Well, and they have the momentum, too, coming off that big win the other night. I mean, they were down 4-0 in the fifth, I think, or Southern Miss was up, and then they were able to switch the momentum, get a huge win in Hattiesburg, But, you know, Joe was telling us this morning, Rex Rohde, he said, you know, nobody knew what time the game was going to be last night. He said he didn't even find out until this morning. Like, it could have been at 11 a.m. The team didn't even know. He said he's texting all these balls. Like, he was like, it was crazy. This team didn't know if they're playing at 11 a.m. They are playing at 5. Luckily, they have the day to prep, but the coaches didn't know. Nobody knew. But, yeah, if they win, they'll head to Omaha. And Joe Rexroth has been covering it all. But, I mean, it's supposed to storm. It's supposed to storm, like, all night there. So, who knows if the game will even happen tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just moved it up. I don't know why. If you had a if you had a window earlier in the day, why not just move it up? But
and just let them know. Yeah. I think it had to do with if Stanford won, because that game's going to
be a primetime game. Yeah, and I mean, TV dictates it all, too. So
everything. It rules the world. It really does.
I mean, that's
scary that everything's going to become streaming, especially with some of the NFL stuff last year. Because what was it during an NHL playoff game? It went out, or no? It was NBA.
Yeah, it went out. Yeah,
if that happens during an NFL game. Whew.
Well, and I was just reading too that Amazon and Disney are talking to WWE about streaming stuff. I mean,
wow!
Right now, the WWE Network is on Peacock, but their TV deals are up. I mean, this is where it's going.
I'm telling you, if the streaming, though, something goes out during an NFL playoff game, right? Because they've got one.
Stuff's happened on TV. Like, cable's gone out, too. But the Heidi game, I mean, go look that up.
It'll be streaming. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be difficulties, for sure. But will DeAndre Hopkins be a Tennessee Titan? We will see.
Hopefully.
Caroline Willie and D-Mace will continue that discussion. Coming up next, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.